You're locked into Leveling the Field, a women's sports podcast run by women for women. I'm your host, Tamia Kay, bringing you the game the women's sports way, and the starting lineup is in the building. Talk to them, ladies.
Hey, y'all. It's Rena Simone.
What's going on? It's your favorite female sports journalist, Alana J.
All right, so today we got a treat for y'all. It's going to be a whole lot of basketball since we're headed into March Madness. But right now, we got some breaking news out of Miami. WNBA star Arike Abumugale was arrested in Miami early Thursday morning following an incident outside a nightclub while celebrating a championship with her teammates from Unrivaled. According to reports, Arike allegedly punched a man outside of the venue, leading to a misdemeanor battery charge. Police say the incident happened around 4 a.m. and she was later released on a $1,000 bond. Both the Dallas Wings and Unrivaled have acknowledged the situation and say they are gathering more information. So obviously this story is still developing, but how could this situation impact Arike and the Dallas Wings heading into the upcoming WNBA season?
I'm not saying it's not a big deal and it was right, but I don't know.
I want to know what he did.
No, literally, like, we need more information
on
this
story. They
said
there's a video out there, so I can't, it's going to get dropped eventually.
Yeah.
I thought he might have just said something slick about, you know, her being a women's basketball player or something.
You know, but she has been under a lot of pressure. It's been a lot going on. That was probably just her last straw.
Yeah.
Not saying you should resort to violence.
Right.
But.
Yeah, she's just over it.
Right.
You know, she's on a high, she's one, and it's just like, dang.
Well, I'm interested to see how they're going to play this because we just had a situation with Kia and her ex-boyfriend a couple of weeks ago. We talked about that on one of our episodes. So I'm not saying it's the same, but it is the same because she got a battery charge and domestic violence is battery just between relationships.
Listen,
he punching a man that hard. He
and had a security guard, so it's just like,
listen,
you know, they kind of.
She be lifting weights.
Even it goes to show he probably said or did something to where she was like, you know what?
Yeah, I don't know.
What can they do? They need money. Right?
Yeah, that's fair.
Finer, like.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably what it's going to end up being. Yeah. She's going to get a fine. She might be suspended for the beginning of the season or something like that.
But like.
Like, you know, they don't need fine a lot because, like, even if her bail was only a ban, I mean, in today's economy, that's really not a lot.
Yeah.
So, what? That's like $20.
Literally.
It's a lot to me. Somebody give me a ban.
That's not even enough for rent. Like, come on now.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. All right. Well, now from breaking news in the WNBA, let's bring it back home to Tallahassee where the Lady Rattlers are getting ready for the SWAC tournament.
Hey, y'all. So, Thursday night was senior night for the Florida A&M women's basketball, and before we talk about the game, we have to recognize the seniors who were honored for their contributions to the program, Robinson, Jackson, and Subarats, who were celebrated for their dedication and leadership on the court, as well as we recognize the FAMU cheerleading team, including members who have also helped bring energy and school spirit to all lost in all season. And with that celebration in the air, the Lady Rattlers ended their regular season on the best way possible with a win over Bethune-Cookman. Now, the focus shifts to Atlanta, where FAMU will look to carry that energy to the postseason. The SWAC tournament is officially underway, where teams now enter a single elimination battle for the chance to extend their season and compete for a conference championship. The Lady Rattlers will take the floor Tuesday morning at 11 a.m. facing the winners opening between Texas Southern and Bethune-Cookman. With their stakes high and every possession counting, the Lady Rattlers now shift their focus from the regular season to the postseason survival. One player who has a major role in FAMU's success this season is a junior, Nyjah, who earns all SWAC honors for her performance at the point guard position. So with that in mind, let's talk about it. Do you think her leadership and experience will be the difference maker for FAMU in the tournament play?
Absolutely. I feel like she's the heart and soul of the team, for sure. She definitely controls the pace on the floor. And even when her teammates are not scoring, she's doing everything that she can to make sure that they stay in the game, whether that's sacrificing her body, if that's scoring, if that's just, you know, knowing what each player's strengths are and trying to feed the ball to the right person to make the right play every single time. When they played Bethune Thursday night, I saw a different team, and that's what I'm hoping that they bring into the tournament. I know that it was senior night and emotions were high, and I get that, you know, players want to win, especially on a night that that's important. So the seniors definitely stepped up. They had like four different girls in double digits, but I want to see more of that energy, especially going into the tournament. So I don't feel like it's just one player. Even though Pierre Foy is the heart and soul of the team, I feel like it's really going to come down to everybody just locking in.
They played a good game. They played a really good game, and I just really hope that they don't not only let this win get to their head, but also they let it be motivation.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I was talking to a couple people, and some of the predictions that they had for our women basketball team was like, oh, you know, they're not going to make it after the first round. And it's like, I want us to prove that, you know,
yeah,
we can do more. To be there.
So, I think that's the biggest thing. Like, people expected us to beat Bethune. Maybe not the men, just because of how high both teams were ranked. Mm-hmm. But with the women, we know Bethune sits at the bottom of the SWAC standings. They're, like, right down there with Pearview. So, to win against them during senior night, like, yeah, it was good energy. But that's expected, especially for a team who has the potential to be amongst the top few.
Yeah.
And since FAMU will play either Texas Southern or Bethune-Cookman, how do you think they're going to prepare for tournament play?
I think it's going to come down to a lot of film. Like, you can practice all day, but if you're not watching what worked and what didn't work when you played those two teams, then it's not really going to be helpful, especially going into a tournament like this. And I hope that they play Bethune again, just because they just recently beat them, so they know freshly what works and what doesn't work. But if Texas Southern wins, which is what I predict, then they're going to definitely need that film.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I like how you said Tanaja, like how she's a heart and soul, so hopefully they really rely on her. I know we talked a lot about identity a few episodes ago with how teams are, so maybe they're kind of finding that, like, she is that leader role and people just need to, like, look up, not look up to her, but, like, look what she's saying, what she's hearing and stuff like that, and, like, take initiative how she is, because I feel like at the end of the day, basketball is a team sport, and you know, it does take only one for people to, like, come together, but, like, if it's, like, a ripple effect and everybody else is, like, picking up their slack, I feel like it moves less stress off her. So what advantages do you think the Lady Rattlers have coming off a strong senior night winning heading into the tournament?
Like Alani was saying, like, just the energy and having the feel and the vibe of, like, just coming off of a win. Like, they were able to snap that long losing streak that they were going through. So hopefully this just makes everybody want to play hard and give them, like, a passion and a reason to play to the best of their ability. But I feel like when it comes down to tournament play, you have to act different. You have to be different. You have to do things differently. So that comes all the way down to, like, what you're putting. Yeah, like, what you're putting in your body, what time you're going to bed, how you make sure that you stay healthy through the tournament and make sure, like, you're handling minor injuries, because we all know minor injuries can turn into bigger injuries. Mm-hmm. Staying healthy for this team, just because we know they don't have the amount of depth that some of the better teams do have. Like, they have depth, but I'm talking about, like, people who won't produce for real. Yeah. So I think
they just need to control the pace early.
Yeah.
Kind of like you touched on that a little bit, you know, coming out like the bat in the tournament, just setting the pace, because, like we said, it's kind of hard to play catch up, especially when it's like, this is not round robin. This is just simple elimination.
Mm-hmm.
So just giving it all you got and making sure, like, everybody's playing their roles.
Yeah. And then they don't play until Tuesday, so they have time to rest.
Yeah.
They have time. Well, they're probably not going to rest because they're going to be practicing, but they have time to rest from the travel. Yeah, from the travel.
You got to rest, though. That's the thing. Yeah. Like, y'all can't just go play hard on Thursday, you know.
And take care of your body.
And you're part of any athlete, part of anybody, you got to rest, or your body going to shut it down for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, hopefully they got their rest that Friday. Or maybe they didn't. Maybe they, you know, getting rest today. But, yeah, get the rest. Definitely got to, you know, watch film, practice, figure out what works. Continue to figure out what works and what doesn't. But most importantly, find the motivation.
Yeah. I agree.
And within doing so, what do you think they have to do defensively to stay competitive with other teams?
Especially. Get on the ball.
Yeah, they got to lock in. Like, the only person that I see hitting the floor all the time is number 23. I think her name is Jordan. I don't know her last name. And Purifoy. Like, those are the only girls that I've seen who will literally die for the ball and sacrifice their body to get it. Everybody else.
Purifoy. I love watching her because she be everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen somebody that can just cover the floor the way she does. And she's so little.
She a dog. That's usually how it comes. It's always the small ones that's the dogs, for real. But defensively, like Serena was saying, they just got to lock in. They need to make sure that they're paying attention in practice and taking it seriously. Coach Gordon, she's a champion. She's been there. She's done that. So she knows exactly what it takes to get her team to the SWAC finals. So with that being said, like, everybody just really needs to buy into the culture, buy into the coach, buy into everything that they've been blessed with, and really just, like, lock in and focus on that.
Yeah.
My final question, what makes a SWAC tournament so unpredictable compared to the regular season?
I would say what our season has looked like this far.
Mm-hmm.
Just not knowing the outcome, because we've had such an up-and-down season that it's like, what y'all gonna do?
Mm-hmm. Even with other teams, not meaning to cut you off, just like how they gonna show up too. Because, like, you know, I know you predicted Texas Southern to win, but, like, what if BCU beats them? Or, like, you know, there's always gonna be an upset, especially in tournaments like that.
I don't see it. They don't have no shooters. They got that one post player.
She, I was just using an example. That's real.
Thursday, I was getting nervous because they started really, like, feeding her. And I think Robinson was in foul trouble. And that's going to be another thing for us. Like, she is our biggest center. She's our foundation in the paint. So she has to make sure that she's conscious of...
She's staying on the floor.
Yeah, like, you have to be conscious of the fouls that you have, especially when it comes down to tournament play. Like, if you foul out in the third quarter, we're done. We're grits. We're cooked.
Yeah.
And luckily... she fouled out late in the fourth on Thursday, because when she was out for that stretch because she was in foul trouble, they just kept feeding 32 the whole time, and she was killing down there. But I think Texas Southern has better shooters, so that's why I'm going with them.
Okay. Well, as Lady Rattlers fight to keep their season alive in the SWAC tournament, the road leads to March Madness officially taking shape across women college basketball.
Well, now let's talk about some March Madness, y'all. It is officially March.
The best month. My birthday in 2 days.
Hey, yes. Look, my birthday is in like 3 weeks. So,
oh, wow. We got some March babies in here.
Whoa. I'm April.
But it's March Madness. Yeah. So
but you know, it's March Madness. So anyways, every March, the best teams in women's college basketball compete for a national championship in the NCAA tournament, better known as March Madness. The full 68-team bracket is revealed on Selection Sunday, March 15th, when the NCAA Selection Committee announces which team made the tournament and how they are seeded. Before that happens, conferences across the country hold their own tournaments, like the SWAC tournament. These conference tournaments are important because the winner automatically earns a bid into the NCAA tournament, giving teams a direct path into March Madness. Some conferences have already crowned their champions. For example, South Carolina recently won the Southeastern Conference Tournament, while UCLA captured the Big Ten Conference title. As more conference tournaments wrap up this week, the field for March Madness will continue to take the shape. Now shifting to the bigger picture around women's college basketball this postseason, which teams do y'all think could make the deepest run on the March Madness bracket that's going to be revealed on Selection Sunday?
Just looking at, because I think Vanderbilt's 5, UConn's 1, so they're going to go to their bracket. I really wanted them to, like, make a run, but I just don't see it happening.
Well, it's going to be UConn and South Carolina at the end. We've already said that.
Oh, I don't know about that.
You don't think so?
I agree.
I mean, I want it to be, but you never know. It comes down to one, and not going to lie, like, I love South Carolina, but sometimes, like, they don't have that oomph in the beginning. Like, they pick it up second quarter. Like, even though, like, the last games, they've been low scoring.
Yeah.
Or they've been close. So, it's like, it only takes that.
Isn't that your team, though?
Yes. But I'm honest. Like, I like watching good basketball. Yeah. So, it's like, and then when I seen Ole Miss beat Vandy, I was like, dang. But, like, I wasn't surprised because they're a good defensive team.
So, does that mean Vanderbilt is not ready?
I think maybe that was, like, kind of like a wake-up call. Like, you know, even LSU, when they lost the first 2 days of the new year, like, it was kind of like, everything's not going to be given. Like, y'all on this streak, like, you know, you don't want it to happen in March. I mean, it is March, but you don't want it to happen during the tournament. So, like, maybe they needed that little push. So.
I agree. I feel like TCU. I feel like they're going to make the deepest run. I feel like they're definitely a sleeper team. I like what Olivia Miles is doing. I like the fact that she left Notre Dame and she went and made a name for herself. And truthfully, I feel like within that year, she's doing a lot more than Hannah Helgado is doing anyway. Like,
well, yeah, because... Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, no, I'm just trying to say I can word this, because even when Olivia Moss was at Notre Dame, she was making, like, noise, but I just don't think, you know, this just isn't her season.
Yeah.
I guess. But, I mean, she's still a good player, but I think she does need people around her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's not a person that could just carry a team on her back. And I think we've seen that with Notre Dame, just where they were last year and how they are They're not in no topic.
Not really.
We haven't in discussion this season, to me at least.
Well, y'all kind of already beat me to my second question then, because the question is, well, who are some players across women's college basketball that fans should keep an eye on during the tournament?
Yeah.
Y'all already kind of beat me.
Yeah. Olivia Miles.
Audie Crooks.
Yeah.
She gonna definitely do something. I don't think
that
her team is good enough.
Did you see how she got snubbed from, I think it was player or something? Did y'all see the teams?
No, bring them up. Bro. We could definitely talk about that.
Well, while we search on that, what team do you think could become this year's Cinderella story and surprise people in March Madness?
Outside of TCU?
You know, because you just
ride it out.
I love the way that they play. Like, her second scorer, I'm sorry, y'all, I don't know her name, but the tall white girl, the shooter, bro, she been snapping. Like, it's like a 1-2. Like, it's not just a one-man game, but, like, you got a person that got your back. Like, she found her clay to her Steph Curry. Like, and it's crazy. Like, they balling. But another team that I feel like could be a Cinderella story, Ole Miss. They just beat Vandy. So I feel like
I'm
that's
always
a sleeper
team. Secretly rooting for Ole Miss,
but like I don't know why. But anybody in the SEC, like, because it's like when your team's like that, like even I think somebody Alabama upset at Tennessee.
Yeah,
like when you play these teams, you're gonna have to pick up something. So it's like when they go out off the conference, like not saying that they look bad against like teams like South Carolina, but it's like they could actually play. But it's like if they're playing teams like Texas stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
how you feel about Iowa? Possibly being
bro, I'm not even worried about them. No. We haven't looked at them since Caitlin Clark.
Yeah,
and I barely looked at them.
They've been playing decent though.
They have, but it's just like, nah.
All right, so if y'all got one team to choose for your Cinderella story,
Ole Miss.
Okay,
I'm picking Ole Miss every time.
I got TCU, obviously. You might as well go Vanderbilt.
Yeah,
you said it earlier.
Yeah, but it's just like I know how the brackets work.
Right.
So it's like y'all finna lose to UConn. If they upset UConn. Baby, everybody's bracket's broke. I'm like, I don't know who's, like, putting Vandy over UConn.
I feel like it's hard to have a Cinderella team in women's college basketball just because you know the powerhouse teams are going to make it to the finals every year. Like, it's been that way for the last, 10 years now?
Yeah. Like, when the bracket comes out, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I can tell you the Sweet 16, like, just based off. Like, it's so easy for a woman and then men to, like, guess because it's, like, women are more, like, it's more teamwork. They stay longer. You can see that build connection.
Yeah.
And they don't transfer as much because there is no stress to get to the league before they graduate.
Especially
so
the
it's
money
easier.
They're making in NIL.
Yeah.
Like that one guy from BYU, he said he didn't want to go to the NBA because he's making so much money. His mom wants him to get a degree. It's like they're making so much money.
That's real.
I like that. Well, now let's take a look at some other conferences still playing for their tournament titles this weekend, because these games will decide who automatically punches their ticket to March Madness. In the Big Ten Conference, semifinal matchups include UCLA versus Ohio State and Iowa versus Michigan, with the winners advancing to the championship game. Over in the Big 12 Conference, the tournament has narrowed down to four teams, with TCU taking on Kansas State and West Virginia facing Colorado. The winners of these games will meet in the championship game for a spot in March Madness. And in the Atlantic Coast Conference, programs like Duke, Notre Dame, Louisville, and North Carolina are still competing for the ACC. So these conference titles are important because each champion automatically earns a spot in the NCAA tournament, with the full bracket revealed on Selection Sunday. Well, we got a lot of tournaments coming up this weekend.
We do.
So let's go ahead and make some picks. First, we got the Big Ten Conference. We've got UCLA, Ohio State, Iowa, and Michigan.
UCLA, even though I haven't even been watching UCLA, like I don't even know how they're number two, so I need to look at their schedule. Not to be a hater or anything, but after what's her name, Baker left, I don't know where. I think she went to Tennessee. But I know they're big. Her sister plays with them now. So I'm excited to see UCLA play because I haven't really watched a lot of California teams.
I'm actually kind of disappointed with the Big Ten right now. Oh. Just because Big Ten and Big 12, like, they supposed to be having them dogs. And this year, I haven't seen it. Like, I feel like the SEC...
The SEC's always been on top.
...has the best
right it's, now. But it's always been like, because who's in the Big Ten? You know, a lot of people left the Big 12, too. Because we got Texas. Who else? We got somebody else that, like, in the last, like, 5 years that just joined. It's not Oklahoma.
Nobody knows. If you can't say it off the top of your head, they ain't nobody important.
And SEC, yeah. Because, you know, they dismantled one of them. It wasn't the Big 12. I forgot what it was, but they dismantled and they just moved everybody around. That's how Texas came to the SEC.
Yeah. So you going to UCLA?
Yeah.
I'm going to be devil's advocate and go Ohio State. Ohio State got that one center. She pretty decent.
I'm going to actually pick Ohio State. I was actually thinking about it. I haven't really watched much of UCLA.
I would love for Lauren Betts to, like, actually get her one.
A championship?
But yeah, but she ain't going to get one because you got UConn. And right now, the score is 21-32. Ohio State and UCLA are playing currently, and UCLA is up. So that might not happen.
I need to watch UCLA. I don't know. I haven't been watching a lot of California teams for real. I used to be big on Stanford, USC. I just feel like a lot of them have fallen off.
They have. Like, it's actually been kind of like a boring March Madness to watch because you already kind of know how the women's games are going to go. Like, they're not boring, but it's like, I don't have to watch this game because I know that this team is going to win. I'll just pick up when the Final Four.
Yeah, well, we got the Big 12 pick next. Out of TCU, Kansas State, and West Virginia, and Colorado, who are we choosing?
Y'all know who I'm choosing. TCU. Do I have to say it?
No, you really don't.
TCU!
Serena, who you got?
TCU.
Well, that makes 3 for 3, TCU.
Hey.
All right, so next we got the ACC pick. We got Duke versus North Carolina, Louisville versus Notre Dame. With the winners meeting for the conference title, who's your pick?
I want to see Duke versus Notre Dame. Duke's been playing good.
Yeah. I think it's going to be Duke versus Notre Dame.
I actually want to see that. Like, that'll probably be one of the games I'm, like, glued to the screen.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I was just talking to, I think, my mom the other day, and I was like, well, I'm like, something about basketball games, I just prefer to watch in person.
Yeah.
But that's one of them games where I'm actually, you be stressed?
Mm-mm. I love the atmosphere.
I mean, I never had money on the game, but it's just like game.
Oh, yeah, no,
like,
you won't catch me betting on Nancy.
But it's like, bro, especially when you can't, like, control it, it's just like, it's just basketball. Yeah. And it's like, you know, since I used to play basketball.
I think that's the inner player.
Yeah, it's like, you don't see certain things when you're not on the court. That's why it's important to watch film and stuff like that. So when I'd be like at the games, I'd be like, dang, how do they see that? But after I was like, oh, they don't see that. Yeah, they don't see that for real, for real.
They fighting like, for their life down there.
It's hard. Literally. It's really hard, like, to see things when you're playing.
Yeah.
Because you're not worried about anything else but the main goal at hand.
Scoring.
But let's look ahead.
Wait, I got to pick.
Oh, you ain't picked?
No. Okay, so. No, I said I got Duke versus Notre Dame for the conference title, but the winner, I'm going with Notre Dame because Hannah, she, like, her steals, they be crazy. Like, I don't know. I'm hoping. I'm praying. I think they're gonna do it, though.
Yeah, I'm Notre Dame for sure.
Yeah.
Did you make a pick, Serena?
Yeah, I guess I'll go Notre Dame. I like the coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the way she dresses.
Yeah, well, now let's officially look ahead to March Madness. Who's your national championship pick right now, and who's your dark horse team that could shock everybody?
Well,
I can't wait till they release this bracket.
Yeah.
I think that's what's making my decision-making, like,
still playing.
Well, I mean, my national championship pick doesn't change. It's UConn. Like, I just feel like that's the safest bet.
I want UConn to get upset so bad.
They're not, though. Like, they just went. Aren't they undefeated?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, they're undefeated. Sarah Strong just became.
But you gotta realize the easiest way to lose a basketball game is at your own mistakes. And it's so
but
easy.
But UConn doesn't make mistakes. That's the thing. Not really. Like, they
I
do.
I mean, yeah, but
it's
not
really.
A strong
even statement
like,
to make.
Look
at the Ole Miss game. Look at the Ole Miss game. They literally, like, Vanderbilt should have won, but they literally, like, when you can make somebody turn over the ball and, like, change the pace of the game, that's why it's good to have a strong, good point guard. Because it's like, if someone can, I forgot what my dad used to tell me, but, like, someone shouldn't be able to control what you do with the ball. So yeah. It's like, if they can, like, turn you off your game, y'all are losing. And I want to see upset. And I hope it's soon, because I want South Carolina to win. So.
But an upset in women's college basketball is so tough. Like, if they do it, hats off to them. But I don't know.
Wait till the bracket drops, y'all. We going to drop our brackets. It's going to be good.
Who's y'all dark horse?
Vandy.
Okay.
I just hate the bracket. Bro, what if they get upset? Oh, that would be perfect. First round, UConn gets upset. Oh, that would be a story for headlines.
Sarah Strong is Big East Player of the Year and Big East Defensive Player of the Year.
I mean, who was in their conference?
It don't matter. She's leading the team.
I know,
everything.
But I'm just saying. It doesn't matter. They was going to get that regardless.
Yeah.
You know, the things, and those things don't even matter because that's what I was trying to bring up. Your player from Iowa, they were talking about she got snubbed. Mm. She didn't get an award, and we know she should have gotten an award. But
you know, I feel like when you're given awards, though, you have to look at the team's success as well. Mm-hmm. And then also the individual player. That's why I hate when they be coming out with MVPs. Like, oh, who's going to be the MVP of this? Who's going to be the... Bro, look at the team. Like, yeah, you're looking at their individual accolades. But if we're going to choose the MVP for... We're going to switch gears real quick, y'all. If we're going to talk about the MVP of NBA this year, it's Shai. It's Shai or it's Cade, in my opinion. Because Cade has did something that hasn't been done within... the few years that he's been there to lead his team to be number one in the East.
I feel like
while
the
producing the numbers.
He player would be the girl from Vanderbilt then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. I feel like it go both ways because I see sometimes when people get MVPs, they're just looking at that person like Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
Her team was trash.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like they definitely need to come up with a definition of what the most valuable player is supposed to be. But, all right, ladies. We've talked tournament basketball. Now it's time for a little game. And we are playing Start, Bench, and Cut, Women's Hoop Edition. All right, so round one is going to be college guard stars. We got Hannah Helgado, Olivia Miles, and Malaika Blakes.
I would love to see that matchup again. Cause did y'all see that
I'm
video?
I'm sorry, did I say Malaika?
This is Michaela.
Okay, it does.
Did y'all see that video when they was arguing? Because apparently they used to date, not trying to be messy.
Ooh,
Hannah and Olivia, you didn't know that?
What?
Oh, y'all.
Is that why she transferred?
Messy.
Clock
no.
in.
You are messy. I'm going to find a Twitter thing and send it to y'all, but like, yeah, but. Yeah.
If only y'all could see the excitement on Amiya's face right now. Like, dude, what? That's messy, but
stop.
Nah. I'm going to have to start.
I'm starting Olivia, more experience.
Yeah, I was going to start with Olivia.
Okay.
I'm benching Hannah.
Okay.
I'm sorry. No. To the back. I'm cutting Hannah. And I'm going to bench Michaela Blakes.
Okay, is there a reason why?
Nope.
Okay.
That's just my reason.
I agree.
Okay. So y'all both saying the same thing.
Look, y'all. They was arguing.
No.
Let me see. Yes, and like Olivia was backing up and she was like, what's up? And like, yeah,
let me see. You got to send me that.
So they was dating. Sorry, y'all. I wish we could insert this, but if y'all look up on Twitter, like...
Send me that video.
I will.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
That's crazy.
Y'all need to get on Twitter. Like, I follow all, like,
I be on Twitter, but, like, I'm not a big social media person.
Shout out to Situations and Relations.
No, for real. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, Joe, go now.
Let me see. This is tough, because I like all of these players. But I feel like I have to go based off of who is producing for their team right now.
Like, I was just about to be like, I'm glad she didn't say Paige. And I look down and I see Paige.
Yeah, she on the trust. But, yeah, I'm going to start Olivia Miles. I am going to bench Hannah. And I'm going to cut Blake's just because. Okay. Ain't no reason.
All right. Well.
Yeah. Moving on to round two, college post-stars. We got Lauren Betts, Audie Crooks, and Joyce Edwards.
I'm starting Audie Crooks. Something's telling me to just bench Lauren Betts.
Facts.
Okay.
And cut Joyce.
Oh, wait.
That's your girl, though.
That's how I said wait.
That's why I put it on there, because I was like, ooh, this is going to start some controversy. That's tough, because Lauren Betts and Joyce Edwards right now are both leading their teams, and they're high ranked.
Wait, y'all. I just realized we have to go back to round one. I'm going to cut Hannah.
Okay.
I'm going to bench Michaela, because she still has
See?
Room to grow.
Yeah. I have reasons
okay.
for this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just watch.
All right.
I don't know if I heard, but I'm like, no, Michaela. Because Hannah, she kind of remind me of Fuwali with the listening and not, you know, when it comes to teamwork and stuff like that.
Yeah. But she produces more than.
No, she does for sure.
But if you can't be coached,
you
can't do nothing.
I'm keeping her for the steals. Like, I need these turnovers and I need them bad in the tournament. Like, I'm thinking tournament play.
But
I'm
choosing her. But the difference between Hannah and Michaela, I feel like she brings that umph off of people like around her. Same, that's how Olivia was at Notre Dame. That's why they were such a good, prominent team. I feel like even Caitlin Clark did that with her team. Even though they weren't the best players, they got those steals, they got those rebounds.
That's real.
I don't see Hannah doing that. I don't see the leadership from her.
That's real.
But, okay, back to round two. We'll start, Audie. You know, that's your girl. I'm going to give you that.
Yeah.
We're going to cut Lauren, and we going to bench Joyce. Well, I feel like Joyce has that too, even though she's young.
Yeah.
She has that
what
mentality.
She's
a second year.
Oh, yeah, she got time, girl. Okay. I'm starting out, Audie, just because none of them dropping 40 like she is.
Exactly.
So I need that down there for sure. And I think I'm going to go with what you said. I like the fact that she has a couple more years, so I'm going to keep Joyce Edwards. And then I'm going to cut Lauren Betts, because if you ain't got it done yet, you ain't going to never get it done.
Yeah, I think she on her fifth year.
Yeah.
We got a next topic we're going to talk about. When people going to stop using their COVID years? Like, it's 2026. Why is people...
They dragging it, ain't it?
Hello?
Hello.
And, like,
I think, like, off topic, but I've literally been hearing the word eligibility for the past, like, mm-hmm. 3 weeks. And I'm like, mind you, I was never, ever going to play a sport in college. I knew that from the bottom of my heart. But I knew that there was a time frame. And hearing people like, yeah, I think I'm about to come out my eligibility. And you're still playing?
Yeah. I mean, they got to chase that dream.
Did you see the chase? What dream? You ain't got it now. You ain't getting it.
In football, like, you can go to a JUCO, play your few years, and still go to a four-year university and still play those extra years.
You see, they letting G Leaguers back into the college. But
that means they're going to start changing rules for the Olympics.
Not everybody
going to
make it.
Gymnastics couldn't. Well, they changed it now, but gymnasts couldn't go to college. They had to pick the Olympics or...
Wow.
But they're saying that they're letting G Leaguers come back
She couldn't go to UCLA. Like, I watched her documentary. But now they're doing that because what's her name is, I forgot what school she goes to. But that means they're going to start changing Olympic rules too when it comes to some athletes. Because some of them can't. I know for tennis, I think they have to just go straight pro or something.
What?
They can't go to college. Because, I mean, we never seen, what's her name? Coco didn't go to college. They have college teams.
Serena,
but I don't think you can go back.
Serena Williams, I need you to step to the forefront. We got questions.
Hello?
But, yeah, like, I think it's crazy. They got G Leaguers coming back to the league. That's crazy. But I think they're doing that because international players come over.
That is true.
And they go to college. So they have to, like, make it even or whatever.
I had an international roommate.
Really?
Yeah.
Where they was from?
Samoa.
That's so cool.
That's dope.
That I feel like that does give them a fair chance.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, that whole, like, when we start getting into college sports, and this was something that my dad told me when I did for a very small part of my life, thought that I was going to go to college and play a sport. My dad was like, if you're not going pro with it,
yeah.
Don't even do it. And I was like, yeah, well, you got a point. So, never mind. Let me just stick to my career.
Oh, they also had another boy who played in the league he's thinking about going back to college, and they are, like, actually looking into it. He played with Bronny at Sierra Canyon.
Mm.
What's his name? I want to say Bailey or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, like, they looking into that. It's crazy. I don't know what the NCAA got going on. But, anyways, moving on to round 3, elite championship teams. This one's going to be fun. We have South Carolina, who holds 3 titles, Tennessee, who holds 8 titles, and then UConn, who holds 11 titles.
Well, I say, we're doing star bench cut.
Mm-hmm.
I'll bench South Carolina. I'll cut UConn. Wait, no. I don't know.
That's tough.
Let me give y'all some insight now.
Yeah.
South Carolina won a title with Asia Wilson in 2017.
They were supposed to win one in 2022, but... I mean, 2020, but that's when it was supposed to be in Oregon versus South Carolina. That's when Sabrina Ionescu was in there. They were the top 2 teams. That's when they had Matt Kiki. And that's when the 3 freshies were freshmen, and they went on that crazy run in 2020.
Then you got 2008 Candace Parker with Tennessee. I don't know if y'all remember that.
Mm.
And then you got 2009 Maya Moore and Tina Charles with UConn. Now, that's when I started watching basketball, and I'm telling you, that combo right there between the guard and the post, that was elite. I ain't never seen basketball play like that in my life, so I already know
who
I'm starting.
Okay, I guess I'm going to cut Tennessee, I'm going to bench South Carolina, and I'm going to start UConn. Because, like, at first, I don't know how I feel about UConn. Not saying that it was given, but they just had so many good players, but at the same time, you got to respect it, because it's just like, that's the cards that was given to them, and they're wonderful players, so, yeah, we cut in Tennessee. We bench in South Carolina. We start in UConn.
Okay. I'm starting UConn. I feel like 11 championships, that's crazy. Like, I would love to play under Geno. I just want to pick his brain. Just sit down with him and just figure out how he found the right recipe to make sure that this happens almost every year.
He's been coaching for, like, 30 years,
yeah.
though. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So, I'm starting UConn. I'm benching Tennessee. Tennessee, they was tough back in the day. Ain't gonna lie.
That's what I'm saying. You holding on to it. No shade. You need to cut them.
No, but I'm talking about we talking about Alabama.
Please. I get it, but if we, I like Candace Parker too. Until she was acting all funny, until Angel Reese.
And you know what? I should have put the coaches on here instead of the team.
Yeah, for sure. Because
if we were talking Geno, Pat Summitt, and Dawn Staley, you know Dawn got to get cut just because she only got 3 championships. I'm sorry,
but what she's done in basketball in general, yeah, only player to Olympic. She did it, coach.
And wasn't she coaching and playing in the league at the same time at one point?
She got a WNBA. She's the only like coach to. I have a shirt with all her accolades.
Yeah.
And so is, I think it's Stewie now. She's the only one to have the Olympic medal, NCAA, WNBA championship, and the championship now. But Dawn Staley, she just, I mean, it's kind of hard to put her in that coach category because she actually played with, like, people. She played in the WNBA. She played in NCAA. So it's kind of hard. Even with, like, Kim Mulkey, it's kind of hard to put them in that coach thing because, like, Kim Mulkey won a championship. She coached a championship. I don't know if she went to the WNBA. She's kind of old. But,
okay, y'all, so they say I'm holding on to it, so I'm going to cut them because I feel like I'm getting pressured. So we're going to start UConn, bench South Carolina, and cut Tennessee.
Cut it.
Tennessee's cut, South Carolina's bench, UConn is being started.
There we go.
I'm glad I convinced y'all.
You're that was already funny. What I was going to say. Good.
You're funny.
But, you know, y'all beat me to the punch. So.
All right, round 4, Cinderella potential. We know in women's basketball there's not really going to be a Cinderella story, but we're going to call these Cinderella teams. But really it's just like teams who have either made it to the Final Four, Elite Eight, and keep getting knocked out and haven't really gotten over that hump. And then other teams that are actually, you know, showing up and being explosive. So we have TCU, we have Notre Dame, and we have Vanderbilt.
Let me go. I'm cutting Notre Dame. I'm starting Vandy, and I'm benching TCU.
Really?
Yeah.
Now I need a reason.
I mean, I like Vandy over TCU. I know you love a little bit Miners, but like, I just like the way they play. I like the come up. I like the storyline, too.
But if they're in the bracket with UConn, then they're out.
Yeah, but we're going to see how the brackets go. Yeah. But they probably won't change. But you never know. If they could upset them,
nah.
You never know.
That would be crazy. Like, what if you were like the only person to bet on the game and you won millions of dollars because you were the only person who bet on the game?
But like I said, like one thing about women's basketball, like the only reason why some people lose, it's either just like their game or they just had the opponents just wasn't their day. Like, yeah. I remember when I watched LSU versus Iowa, like no one was beating LSU that day. It was just their day. And Iowa didn't have messes, but it was just like you just couldn't take that away from them.
Yeah. A lot of people get stage fright, too, when they are playing in big arenas. Like, I don't see how because this is
D1
basketball. Everybody got a big gym. But
that year, because I had stayed in Houston at the time, and that year the women's was in Dallas and the men's was in Houston. So, like, people were driving back and forth. I remember that was, like, the most record-breaking, like, watched and, like, came to the game because it was just such a big deal.
That's crazy.
Because that's the year, I think it was Houston in the Final Four. I forgot who won in 2023 for the men. And it was San Diego University, too.
I do remember them being
I think it was, it wasn't Penn. It was something, it was a blue team. Because they won back, I think it was UConn, actually. Because Angel Reese's cousin had got drafted the next year. But anyways, yeah, I'm cutting Notre Dame. I'm benching TCU, and I'm starting Vandy.
Okay.
And Vandy's young, too.
They are.
TCU's old. No shade.
I'm starting TCU. Feel like, I'm just saying though, I feel like they can have a good run. Just if I'm going based off of how I feel like the bracket is going to be set up, I'm going to go with TCU. I am going to bench Vanderbilt and I'm cutting Notre Dame. Because like I said, if you hadn't got it done yet, Hannah, it's probably not going to get done. Who you got?
The name drop was so like passively aggressive.
But it's like, it's your team though.
I mean, it's her third year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just been inconsistent. Yeah, comfortability.
Yeah, but I mean, like I said, she's a good player, but she's never like had that dominant presence. So
I feel like you can't be a dog alone, and that's kind of like what we were.
A real dog
to.
Is feeding their people. Yeah, they're getting because it's like you feed off that energy. Like you're it's just not all about you. You're getting your team. Y'all getting steals. Y'all like going play for play. You getting the passes, alley, whatever. So it's just like it's a different type of game to people.
You I can tell like, she definitely plays for herself.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
she's like, oh, my highlights will be out by the end of the night. Let me go ahead and do something cute.
Oh.
Well, let me be the devil's advocate here.
Okay.
I'm going to start Vandy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to bench Notre Dame.
Dang.
I'm just holding on to that. Like,
no.
I'm holding on to them. Yeah, Amaya, I'm sorry.
Amaya looking at the thing
go.
Like, what is she seeing?
Hey, it's her opinion. You know what I'm saying? I like it.
So we all had different ones. Okay.
All right. Round five, WNBA teams. We got the Las Vegas Aces, New York Liberty, and Indiana Fever.
Cutting Indiana.
Okay.
I'm starting.
It was quick.
Yeah, I don't.
But why are you cutting them, though? You don't feel like they're team straight?
No.
Okay.
Not against, and I just love the Liberty. I love Sabrina Nescu.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, let me re-ask that question. You don't feel like they're up and coming?
No.
No?
Okay, up and coming, yeah.
Yeah.
But.
Aaliyah Boston.
Yeah, I love.
Caitlin Clark.
I don't know. Aaliyah Boston doesn't play the same like how she played in college. I don't know if it's a team around her, but like someone that who's watched her since high school, she kind of gives soft in the league to me.
Bro, they got some dogs in the league.
No,
though.
For sure.
I'm not going to say her game hasn't translated, but she still has a lot to learn. And
no,
I feel like
sure.
Also she need to lose some weight.
Yeah, she has gained weight too.
Yeah.
Oh.
She was like skinny in South Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah, she. So it's just like, I'm not, I don't know. She doesn't have that same presence like how she did in South Carolina.
Yeah. When you that size and that height, like you have to either be a stretch for it, one who can run the floor and handle the ball. And she can handle the ball, but I don't trust her to bring it up the court and not get it ripped from her playing
mm-hmm.
professional athletes.
Yeah.
So I feel like those are two areas that she could really work on over the summer because her team's going to need her for sure.
And I feel like she's not dominant. Like in South Carolina, even though she was big, she had that But overall, I feel like they're on the come up. But I definitely have Las Vegas starting. I'm going to bench New York because I feel like New York has more potential than Indiana. And Indiana's so young.
Yeah.
And I'm going to cut Indiana.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like this one kind of easy, you know.
Ooh, dude, I'm looking at the next one. That's super easy. We
yeah.
all better have the same thing.
Yeah, I'm going to start the Aces just off of the unrivaled tournament, the 1-on-1 with
hello,
Chelsea Gray. Like,
Thank you.
She's a dog. So I'm starting Las Vegas. I'm benching New York, and Indiana got to get cut. Yep.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
Right.
And this is coming from somebody who doesn't really watch a lot of WNBA. So my picks are very, like, just going with the flow.
That's
but right. Yeah, I definitely will start Las Vegas. Actually, no. I will start New York, bench Las Vegas, cut Indiana.
Yeah, I feel like you can't really go wrong with those two teams. They
yeah.
both got some dogs. And then for
yeah.
the Miss to win the championship with Breonna Stewart again, it just really solidifies that she really is a dog.
Bro, Breonna Stewart is like the female KD, and KD's my favorite player.
Yeah.
Like, I love Stewie, like, and she's just so calm and cool. She never really says nothing, like, for real. And I like how she speaks out
well,
for, like, the WNBA.
Well, female KD, I reserve that for Elena Deladon. If COVID mm-hmm. never hit, she would have still been in the league.
I need to look her up.
Yeah, you need to. Listen, bro, that was my favorite
was
basketball
college?
Player. She played at Delaware. She went to UConn, and she has, like, a special needs sister.
Mm-hmm.
So her sister was missing her a lot, and it was
aww.
Taking a toll on her. So she left UConn after her freshman year and went home to Delaware to play for them. But she's a dog. Like, now I got to go look up her
accolades.
Yeah,
I need to see her.
Because Elena Deladon, that's my favorite player.
I've
that
heard
girl
the name
is
before.
Cold. But she has a health issue, which caused her not to come back and play
aww.
Because of the whole COVID situation. It would have put her health in jeopardy. And she didn't really like how the league didn't really
yeah.
support or financially help with that. So she decided to just retire.
I remember a lot of players, like, during 2020, they were speaking out on, like, how the WNBA were moving forward with their operations when it came to COVID.
Yeah.
But last round, bonus round. Okay, we're going to do WNBA guard superstars. Caitlin Clark, Paige Buckards, and Sabrina Nescu. So I'll go for
oh, them. She won a championship with the Washington Mystics in 2019.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're going to have to send me that because I didn't, yeah. But, okay, we're going to start Sabrina. Bench Paige, we're cutting Caitlin Clark. I hope everybody better have the same thing. Like,
what did you say? Who you say you start?
Huh?
I'm starting Sabrina Ionescu. Bro, she's like a vet, though.
She
like,
is.
I mean, you can't go wrong, but everybody better cut Caitlin, no shade. Like,
dang.
I didn't really want to.
Oh, my God.
But, you know.
I don't like Caitlin Clark. I'm
oh.
sorry. I don't.
You don't like her game, or you just don't like her?
I don't like, I mean, I don't know her. I don't like her game. I don't like her attitude. I don't like how she uses her white privilege in basketball. She just, and bro, she's just, I never seen somebody get so much praise for losing two championships back to back. That's just my thing.
Yeah.
But
I wasn't gonna cut her. Caitlin, I do know her attitude though is terrible. It's very like entitled, very white.
She had the most turnovers her freshman year. Her first year, she had the most turnovers in the WNBA. Yeah, she's cut. She's just a crybaby.
But yeah. I look the same. I have to look the same. Sabrina is my start. Paige is my bench. Caitlin cut.
Okay.
I think we know what Mia's going to say.
I'm starting Paige now.
Yeah. No, she
I'm
is.
Just playing. I'm just playing serious. But yeah, we starting Paige. Okay. I'm a bench Inescu just because I feel like, you know, I want to do that. And then we cut in Caitlin Clark because I have to agree. I don't really see how she is...
A very
viable asset, but not even just that, but just like a good role model for the up and coming kids, just because of how she presents herself on the floor.
Yeah.
Like it's like having a tantrum. Like that's another reason why I don't like LeBron James. I feel like he cry a lot too. Like I respect his game, but the way that he sits up there and he begs referees to call fouls and this, that, and the third, and you know all of the extra. I don't really go for
the
that.
The NBA is corrupt. I knew when they hired like his little best friend to be the coach, like. I don't know how grown men take like other grown men seriously, especially your friends, and they have to realize this is a franchise, this is a game.
Yeah,
that's why it's so hard for me to watch the NBA because I'm just like, what am I even watching?
Yeah,
like,
no.
There's no teams. Like, do y'all even like have team practice? Like, I know y'all be on y'all's, like y'all take care of y'all's body and everything and have y'all little one on ones, but like, I don't know, I just can't. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just such a business, and the way they be throwing out these fines, like
KD the GOAT, like, though. Attention. That's what I do know.
Yeah, hello, that's my favorite player.
Well, hey, mine too. See, I knew I liked you. I liked you.
So, you know, Dad, because you are going to listen to this. My dad is going to listen to this. I'm going to tell him specifically to listen to this because you raised me. You raised me to be a diehard LeBron fan.
What?
My life, mm-hmm. right? So now that I'm like finally getting into my own realm of sports, I need to figure out who my player is.
Yeah.
That's
so,
real.
You know,
yeah.
Hopefully in about two episodes, maybe three, because it may take that long, you know, maybe I'll have my top five.
Okay.
Hopefully LeBron's like still not included.
Well, that concludes Start, Bench, Cut. We all had different opinions, but that's the point of the game. And we got to have a little bit of fun with it. So just like that, the field has been leveled. And unfortunately, that's all the time that we have for today. So thank y'all so much for tuning in to Leveling the Field. Before we get out of here, I want to give the starting lineup a chance to sign off and shout out their family and fans.
Shout out my mom and dad for making me, y'all. Like I said, my birthday's in 2 days. I'm going to be 22.
Period.
Yeah, she got her hair done, y'all. Hello. Y'all can't see it with the hair is dead.
She is ready.
Hair dead, lashes dead, everything
dead. Two fingers tapping.
But, and shout out March Madness. I'm excited for some upsets. I'm excited for good basketball. And I'm excited our group chat going to be jumping because I'm going to be sending everything in, especially if we have some upsets. And, yeah.
And let me go to mute y'all right now. Just it is Alani J, your favorite female sports journalist, signing out. I want to give a quick shout out to my parents just for being who y'all are, being my support system. And I will see y'all on Thursday. Hallelujah.
Amen.
My parents.
Drive safe.
I miss them. And shout out to the FEMU students who came out in support on Thursday.
Yes.
That was the most biggest. I took a picture because I was like,
this is a monumental moment right now.
So shout out to FEMU as a whole, all of the sports that are playing and get ready to play. And most importantly, shout out to God for this being possible.
For sure. I'm going to shout out to God. Thank him so much for just giving us the opportunity to be in here doing our thing. Shout out to WANM just for allowing us a space to work. Shout out to my girls, Leveling the Field, everybody who put in the work to create the content for Senior Night. You know, I know it took a lot of time, effort, and energy, so I appreciate everybody for the parts that they played. Y'all get some rest this weekend because we got a lot of content that we need to get going for March Madness, I'm not going to lie. And shout out to my mom, dad, brothers, and everybody else who constantly listens to our show and show support. So I appreciate y'all that much. Well, that's the starting lineup. Thank y'all for rocking with us here on WANM. 90.5. I'm your host, Amia K. I always bring you the game the women's sports way, and we will catch y'all next week.
Ciao, ciao. Love y'all.
Leveling the Field is produced in the studios of WANM FM 90.5 in the School of Journalism and Graphic Communications at Florida A&M University.